Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to apologize if I sound nasally because I'm still fighting off some sinus BS.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a good one for you today.
Ooh.
Yes, this bitch is Sheila Davalou. I'm assuming that that's how she pronounces her last name.
Well,
she doesn't. That's how I'm pronouncing it.
If it's not, I'm sure someone will let us know.
I'm sure.
Okay, tell me all about Sheila.
You're not going to want to play games with this woman.
No.
It probably will not turn out well for you.
Like Monopoly or chess?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Really?
Yeah.
Sore loser?
She just makes you really sore.
Oh. My mind is racing.
Yeah. It's not a for all ages game.
Oh. Be warned.
Yeah, be warned. Don't let your children listen to this one.
Don't let your kids listen to any of our podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's FYI. Probably a better FYI or PSA.
Yeah. What is that?
Public service announcement?
Oh my God.
We're just here to service the public.
Oh.
So Sheila was born on May 11th, 1969 in Iran. Several years later, in the mid-70s, her and her family immigrated to the United States.
Mm.
And Sheila was very intelligent. She earned a biochemistry degree from SUNY Stony Brook. She was married twice. And Sheila's first marriage ended when her husband found out she was carrying a baby for her affair partner, Paul Christos.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. That'll end your marriage pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Sheila and Paul met while she was attending graduate school at New York Medical College in Valhalla, New York.
Wow.
After her divorce from her first husband was finalized, Sheila and Paul were married in 2000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she didn't waste any time. Mm-hmm. She went from number one to number two.
Okay.
And Sheila began working as a pharmaceutical researcher at Purdue Pharma in Stanford, Connecticut. While working here, she became acquainted with her colleagues Nelson Sessler and Anna Lisa Raimondo. Now, let's jump to Sheila and Paul's life in 2002. They've been married for about 2 years now, and you would think that they're still in the honeymoon phase of their marriage.
Mm.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
Mm-mm.
Sheila was trying out a new toy named Nelson Sessler, the co-worker she had become friendly with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
Sheila gets bored quick.
Mm. Okay.
She got married to number two and she started looking for number three. However, there was a problem.
Well, she's already, 33?
Yes.
Around that
age. Yeah, around that age.
So there ain't time to waste.
Okay. No.
If you're not kicking it with the first one, you got to go. You ain't kicking it with the second one. You got to go.
Third time might be a charm.
Who knows? The charmer. We don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
We might find out.
All right.
However, there was a problem with Nelson and Sheila's relationship.
Oh, God.
And the problem wasn't the fact that Sheila was already married. No.
Okay. No.
The problem was that Nelson was in a relationship with their other co-worker, Anna Lisa Raimondo.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So they're all three in a friend group. Mm-hmm. Anna doesn't know that Nelson and Sheila got something going on the side.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a love triangle that not everybody knows about.
Anna Banana.
I know. I feel bad for her. She's a really sweet-looking lady.
Yeah.
She was, I think, in her 30s. So Nelson informed Sheila that they would need to end their affair because he wanted to ask Anna to marry him.
Oh.
Sheila was originally not on board with this. She didn't understand why they needed to stop seeing each other.
Mm.
I guess Nelson wanted to make an honest woman out of himself. Maybe he finally got a conscience and realized what he was doing to Anna was wrong. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
After Nelson explained his reasoning to Sheila, she gave off the impression that she understood and gracefully discontinued their relationship.
Okay.
However, we wouldn't be talking about good old Sheila if this is how she actually felt. And she carried on with her life in a legal, non-lethal manner.
Oh.
Yeah. Sheila had other plans.
You know, it's like I know what we talk about, But I'm always like, oh, please, no.
Yeah.
Like please, no.
I know how this ends. Yeah. And it's like, maybe we'll have a happy ending on this one. It's like, Brandy, you're doing a podcast about bitches who are unwell. You're doing a murder podcast. It never ends well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit. All right.
Damn. Okay.
In 2002, Nelson and Anna moved in together and Sheila was relegated to the friend zone.
Oh. I'm guessing it's a place she didn't
want to
be.
She did not want to be friend zoned. Mm-hmm. She did not agree to this. Mm-mm. Sheila was silently seething. She mm-hmm. hated Anna and wanted her out of the way. On November 8th, 2002, Sheila went to Nelson and Anna's apartment while Nelson was not there. She didn't waste any time getting down to her reasoning for being there. Sheila savagely beat Anna before stabbing her 9 times in her neck and chest. She went freaking crazy. After she murdered Anna, she attempted to clean up the crime scene and herself. So she had time to beat this woman up, murder her, mm-hmm. and then clean the crime scene and mm-hmm. herself. Mm-hmm. She left the crime scene and went down the road to a restaurant and used payphone to call 911. Sheila pretended she was a neighbor of Anna's that was worried because she heard a disturbance coming from her apartment. She said it sounded like a man was attacking her neighbor.
It sounded like a man was attacking her mm-hmm. neighbor? Okay, Sheila.
Sheila thinks she's... I sounded like a man. I was in there for the kill. Mm. That was kind of fucked up. Sorry. We're not going to say that.
We'll delete.
Yeah. Sheila refused to give the dispatcher her name, but did give them Anna's address. Police were dispatched to Anna and Nelson's apartment, and when they arrived, they found Anna dead.
Of course.
Initially, police suspected Sheila was the murderer, but there was no evidence linking Sheila to the crime.
Hmm. Well, she cleaned up that good.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I wonder how she... I don't understand how she was linked to this, because when they spoke with Nelson to see if Anna had any enemies or if there were affair partners, Nelson denied that he and Sheila ever had a relationship.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Like, maybe they suspected Nelson was lying at the time. Or other people at their office knew maybe that they were having an affair and told the police.
Maybe.
Because there had to be something that like threw up flags about her for them to be to like,
I don't know. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she didn't seethe as privately as she thought.
Yeah, she wasn't a graceful loser.
Oh well.
Ugh. Later, during Nelson's testimony in court, he would admit that he named 2 other ex-girlfriends as suspects the police should investigate for involvement.
So he didn't think that she did it?
Mm-mm. Nope, he didn't think she could do it because he said he never doubted her mental stability. Needless to say, Nelson is not a good judge of character. After Anna's death, Sheila used the opportunity to resume her affair with Nelson.
Wait, he went right back to sleeping with her?
Yep, he did.
The one that murdered his fiancée. Girl that he was going to marry.
Yep. Okay. She started off by just comforting him being a shoulder to cry on.
What a sweet girl.
And then she became a hole to fall in.
Literally. Okay.
In court, Nelson also testified that Sheila started out comforting him in the aftermath of his girlfriend's brutal murder, never dropping any hints that she had committed the crime. I can't believe this woman could brutally murder an innocent woman and then comfort her boyfriend.
Right.
Like she had no involvement.
Right.
How do you...
That would be a normal thought.
Yeah.
Like there's no way she's here trying to comfort me if she just... There's no way she could be guilty.
You would think that she would stay far, far away. She doesn't want to get caught.
Far, far away.
Yeah, but Sheila had no conscience, so she was good with this. It's like, it's fine. I didn't do anything wrong. You're mine. Another thing Sheila was lying about was that she was married.
Wait.
Yeah, Sheila never told Nelson that she was married.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe she wasn't married, but she definitely was married.
She definitely was married.
Lied to Nelson.
And lied to Nelson. He had no idea she had a husband.
Okay.
They had known each other for around 2 years by this point.
So I guess he was opposed to cheaters? Like,
yeah, I guess like he doesn't like adulterers. Like, is it only considered adultery if you're in a marriage?
Or if you're a man.
Or if
it's
you're
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Henry VIII.
So he got butthurt that she was married?
Yeah, he was not cool with her being married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Now, in all fairness, he broke it off with her because he wanted to propose.
Yeah, so maybe he was okay with dating around, but not once you're in a committed relationship. It's like, okay,
yeah, no. So maybe they weren't exclusive.
Yeah.
We'll give him a little bit of credit.
We'll give you a little credit, Nelson.
Okay.
We're sorry. She told Nelson that she and her second husband, Paul, were divorced, and she even went so far as to hide his belongings when Nelson visited her home.
Did he have, like, a basket of clothes? Like, what?
Yeah, like, she would take down pictures of them. Any sign that a man lived at her house was boxed up and put in closets or in spare bedrooms, so...
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. But now you have to keep your house clean and hide the fact that you have a roommate, a.k.a. your husband.
Yeah. Wait,
come right. on, Sheila.
Come on. Yeah.
During...
And he didn't know, do you know?
Paul did not know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was clueless about Nelson and Sheila's after-work activities.
Wow. That's unscrupulous.
Yeah. I don't know how she could lie to his face, to both of their faces.
Right.
Like,
so one didn't know about the other.
Nope. She was very good at hiding her lies.
Mm-hmm.
During this time, Nelson considered his relationship with Sheila as casual. But Sheila did not agree with his thinking because while she was comforting Nelson, she was also planning on how to get rid of her husband so she and Nelson could become more serious. Yeah.
Wow.
I know I've said this before, but seriously, is divorce really harder than murder?
No.
Like, I would think that would be
no.
a much more scrupulous way to get out of a marriage is you divorce them.
Yeah. People are not put on this earth for you to decide whether they live or die.
Yeah.
Or they become an inconvenience. That's insane.
Yeah, and if you like sleeping around, don't get married. That'll solve your problem.
Maybe
right
that's
there.
The whole thing she liked.
Maybe she liked the wedding.
Yeah. She's an eternal bride.
She was a run to the altar bride.
Yes, run to the altar bride.
Sheila and I do not think along the same lines, though, because after getting away with murdering Anna, she decided divorce wasn't for her. She would just kill her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she planned to put her scheme into effect in March of 2003.
In March. Why March?
I don't know. I guess it was the closest month.
Okay, I can't do it at the end of February. It's going to have to be March. I'm booked.
It can't be February 29th. It only happens once every 4 years. It's going to have to be March.
Yes, absolutely. March 1.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's set. Write it in my planner. When Paul arrived...
Did she write it in her planner?
I really hope she did. Murder husband.
Yeah.
In parentheses, Paul Costas.
Mm-hmm. 10:15 to 11:45 a.m. Did she do an out-of-office response?
She probably did. I will be slow to respond to emails as I am in the process of trying to murder my husband so me and my affair partner can become more serious.
Yeah.
If this is an emergency, please call my affair partner, Nelson Sessler.
No, don't call him.
No, wait, don't call him because then he'll know that
then
I am married.
Then he'll know that I'm secretly psycho.
I don't know what to do.
If it's an emergency, call 911.
If this is an emergency... Gosh, that would be great.
Oh, I forgot to mark private on that.
That wasn't supposed to be added to my work calendar.
Don't forget to set the alert. 10 minutes prior should be good
like
enough.
Flash on there.
Oh, it's time to kill my husband.
Oh, shoot, I'm late. I've got to go. I'm on a schedule.
A schedule.
When Paul arrived home, Sheila told him she wanted to spice up their sex life, and she had the perfect game to do just that. Don't play games with Sheila.
Don't do it, Paul.
She began by handcuffing Paul to a chair and then blindfolding him.
Oh, my God. Yep. Do you know what Jeremy would do if I handcuffed him to a chair and blindfolded him? He'd be saying, have you lost your damn mind?
But this is not a game. I do not want to play this game.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, this is definitely not making me feel all warm
red
and cuddly
rum,
inside.
Red rum, covered.
He'd press a button, red lights would start flashing.
Safe word.
Kelly, stop.
Oh, God.
Oh, okay. So she told Paul that she would touch different objects to his body, and he would have to guess what she was touching him with. I'm sure Paul was pretty excited about this game, but he wouldn't
nipple.
Be for long.
It's a nipple.
It's your nipple.
No.
Sheila began.
It's my penis.
Bet you didn't know I had that, did you, Paul?
Well, she's hogged a lot of things.
Yes, she is.
I'm thinking maybe it's not out of range.
Ball field?
Yes. Yeah. It's not out of range. It is within the ball field.
It is ball field.
Balls.
Balls filled.
Oh.
Sheila began her sexy game by rubbing the 4-inch paring knife along Paul's skin.
Oh, my God.
Paul stated he initially thought the object felt like a candle. The next thing he knows, he feels a sharp pain in his chest and hears Sheila scream, "Oh, my God, I think I hurt you. You're bleeding."
Do you think, Sheila?
Of course.
A 4-inch paring, a paring knife?
A paring knife.
Was she trying to make him suffer?
Probably. I don't know what she was thinking with that.
I mean, a 4-inch paring knife into somebody's chesticle is not... is not going to penetrate enough to kill somebody.
Yeah, it'll penetrate enough to do damage or to slowly let you bleed out, but not...
Right.
Like, I don't know if she thought this would be, like, straight to the heart and he's gone.
A 4-inch paring knife?
I don't know. I thought Sheila was very intelligent, but maybe she wasn't.
No. She sucks as a murderess.
Yeah. She just sucks in general.
Yeah, she did.
Of course, Sheila doesn't have accidents, and she knew exactly what she was doing.
Oh, okay.
She stabbed Paul twice in the chest with the paring knife.
After she thought she hurt him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bitch sure knows how to kill the mood. Right. There was nothing happening after this.
You really put a damper on this, love fest.
God damn it, Sheila. I was just getting excited. And then you go and ruin it.
Stab me in the heart.
Paul was still handcuffed and blindfolded at this time, so he didn't know exactly how injured he was or what Sheila had used to injure him. He just knew that he was in pain. Mm-mm. Paul begged Sheila to call 911 for help. She refused to call 911 because the injury really wasn't that bad. Mm. Yep.
Maybe if you're the one not suffering from it.
Sheila did not feel any pain from this. She didn't understand. She's like, I'm not hurt at all. Like, I feel nothing.
Oops, you're bleeding, though.
Hmm. Paper cut. So, finally, Sheila calls 911 for help. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't call 911 for help.
Okay.
She pretends to call 911 for help while her husband is bleeding out in their home.
Oh, no.
And she told Paul that the line for 911 was busy. Yeah. I don't think the line for 911 can be busy.
Ever.
Ever.
No. They don't just pop them off the hook and...
Yeah.
Hey, it's time for a smoke break.
All right, I'm going to smoke, guys. Here we go. It's my lunchtime. Everybody just send the phones forward. We'll just keep rolling them on to the next person.
Right? No. Doesn't work that way.
Sheila leaves the room to try to make the call again. But in reality, she is calling her boy toy, Nelson, to set up a freaking dinner date with him. While her husband is bleeding, blindfolded and handcuffed to a chair in their living room.
Oh, poor guy.
After multiple attempts to call 911, Sheila tells Paul she finally got through and an ambulance was on the way.
Oh, great.
Spoiler. Sheila did not call 911 and there was no ambulance
on the way. I kind of figured that. Yeah.
Paul begs Sheila to unhandcuff him from the chair, but wouldn't you know it, Sheila lost the gosh darn key for the handcuffs.
Oh, my.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, darn.
Paul tells Sheila to just break the frickin' chair, and thankfully she listened and broke the chair to free him.
Why would she do that, though? Did she unblindfold him?
Yes, he's finally unblindfolded.
Okay.
And then it becomes apparent to Paul that an ambulance is either not on its way or they're taking way too long to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And he begs Sheila to bring him to the hospital. Finally, Sheila consented and loaded Paul in their car to go to the hospital. Once they arrived at Westchester Medical Center...
Oh, she actually took him.
She actually took him. Sheila didn't rush through the emergency room entrance. She didn't try to flag down staff. What she did do was park the car in a remote, out-of-the-way parking lot. Once parked, she got out of the car, opened the rear door, and stabbed Paul in the chest a third time.
Oh, really?
She was determined to end Paul's life. After this, there was a struggle, and Paul managed to lunge out of the car, or out of the back seat of the car, and grab the knife, which he threw into a nearby pile of bricks.
Now he's still handcuffed.
I think so, yeah, because she lost the key.
Okay.
I can just imagine Sheila standing in the parking lot, blandly whispering, "Help, help, my husband needs help. Oh, shoot. Guess nobody can hear me." Thankfully, a passerby witnessed Sheila's attack on Paul in the hospital parking lot, and Paul was rushed inside the medical center where he underwent emergency open heart surgery.
Oh, my gosh.
He survived, and while Sheila tried to flee the scene, police apprehended her.
Oh, good.
Thank goodness.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. At the police station, officers checked her cell phone logs to verify her version of events. They quickly learned that when Sheila told her husband she'd tried to call 911, she had actually spoken to Nelson. According to Nelson, Sheila asked him if he wanted to come over that evening for dinner. However, Sheila said she had called her boy toy not to invite him over for that evening for a date, but to cancel plans because Paul had been injured.
Oh, sure, sure.
I wonder if her and Nelson are going to play the sexy time game.
Oh, no.
Ain't nobody want to play with you.
Well, not for at least 2 years.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's about as long as like, she can handle you. Then you're done.
Well, then she's going to handle up on you.
The newness has worn off.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they, oh, yeah.
Now, like, what, I mean,
well, how do you get that mix up? She's calling to cancel? But no, she was calling me to make arrangements.
Yeah, and like, you're bringing him to your apartment that you just murdered your husband in.
Or tried to.
She was thinking that she was going to murder him when she spoke to Nelson. And
mm-hmm, like, of course.
Where were you going to hide his body? What were you going to do with him?
In his basket of stuff.
Probably so. Then like Paul goes with all Paul's things for when Nelson comes over. There's no Paul here. Paul don't live here.
Poor Paul.
I know. I feel bad for him.
I know.
He didn't deserve this. After stabbing Paul, Sheila was arrested and charged with attempted murder. Investigators also questioned Nelson to find out why he'd spoken to Sheila on the day she tried to kill her husband. When Nelson was questioned, he was reportedly shocked to learn the woman with whom he'd had an on-and-off relationship for years was actually a married woman.
Holy moly. Can you imagine?
I know, like, that's a bit, like, how do you hide that?
I don't know, when you, like, and you've been in this man's house?
Yeah. And I mean, I know whenever I do anything with anybody, Chris always comes up in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting, like, does she have to sit there and think, like, don't say Paul's name. Say nothing about Paul. No Paul. No Paul. No, like.
Well, this would also have to mean that none of her coworkers knew that she was
married.
Yeah,
nobody knew.
Or so. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm just saying that's general knowledge around your workplace. Like, who's married, who's not.
Yeah.
Who has kids.
I guess, you know? She didn't have any wedding photos on her desk at the office.
No. She had a paring knife, though.
Oh, well, needs to have that taken away.
It's a letter opener.
Oh, no.
And a chesticle stabber.
According to Nelson, despite regularly visiting Sheila's home, he had no idea she was married, mainly because she went to extraordinary lengths to hide Paul's existence.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila was said to convince Paul to move out of their home for whole weekends, claiming that her brother, who didn't exist, was coming to stay and would be angered by Paul's presence. Yeah, so Sheila...
Why?
So he would leave and her and Nelson could have the apartment to themselves.
No, but why would you... You wouldn't question that?
Yeah.
Like if... Let's say Jer-Bear said, you need to leave the house for the weekend. My sister's coming in that you've never met.
Yeah.
She would be pissed that my wife was here. That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
No.
And I think she said that he was like coming out of a mental hospital or something, but still, why would he care that you're married?
Right.
And why would you want him at your house if he can't know that you're married? I would think this would be something that you would discuss with your husband. And if your brother really was in a mental hospital, you would speak with his doctors to help introduce Paul to your brother. Like, this in no way makes sense.
No, I'd be thinking, what the hell happened between you and your brother that he would be so jealous or angry that...
That's a weird relationship.
Yeah.
After her arrest for Paul's attempted murder, Sheila quickly became a suspect in Anna's unsolved murder.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson and Anna's family also began to suspect that Sheila was responsible for Anna's death.
Mm-hmm.
An important piece of evidence police had collected at Anna's murder scene included blood left in the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. But authorities had been unable to match the blood to anyone. DNA testing of the blood ultimately linked Sheila directly to the murder, leading authorities to charge her with first-degree murder in 2007.
Bam.
Boom, girl. You going down.
Boom, shakalaka.
Prior to her 2007 arrest, Sheila was convicted in 2004 for Paul's attempted murder and was serving a 25-year prison sentence.
Mm-mm.
In 2012, Sheila stood trial for the 2002 murder of Anna. In a move that shocked many people, Sheila waived her right to an attorney and instead stated she was representing herself.
That's a wise move.
Yep. She thinks things through.
Mm-hmm.
However, public defender Barry Butler did advise her throughout the trial. At one point during the two-week trial, Sheila questioned Paul, who divorced her after the arrest.
I would think.
Glad he escaped that crazy bitch.
Yeah. Definitely.
In a dramatic turn of events, Sheila was unable to complete the cross-examination of Paul as she began crying while questioning him.
Oh my gosh. This is...
Reportedly, Sheila became emotional when she asked Paul about the scarring on his chest, which was a result of the three times Sheila had stabbed him in 2003. Kind of like to
now
be upset
she wants to
now,
be emotional.
Dearie. Yeah, now she cares about him.
Not 2 hours later in the parking lot of the hospital. Let's give it another go. Yeah,
as you're stabbing him for the third time, I feel really bad, Paul.
Why do you do this to me?
She wasn't crying for Paul at that trial. She was crying for herself because she's like, how am I going to, I can't defend this. Like,
No, she wanted him to feel sorry for her.
Yeah, we don't feel sorry for you.
No, I hope Paul didn't either.
He didn't.
Good.
Now the acts of this bitch just get even better. During her 2012 trial, Paul revealed that Sheila had actually told him stories about the crazy love triangle that was happening at her office involving herself, Nelson, and Anna. But the characters in Sheila's story, she'd been referring to them as fake names, preventing Paul from realizing she was actually having an extramarital affair.
Oh, really? She was gossiping about...
She was gossiping about herself, Nelson, and Anna being in a love triangle and all the ups and downs that were happening and how mad...
Wow, what a nut job.
Yeah. According to Paul, Sheila said the three people involved in the love triangle worked in her office, and one of them, whom she called Melissa, was a close friend of hers. Investigators later determined Melissa was the alias she used for herself.
Of course.
When she asked her husband for his advice about the situation with Nelson and Anna.
Is that a way of getting it off your chest?
Maybe so.
But not really getting it off your chest?
I wonder if she's, fed off of this. Like, he doesn't even know. Look how smart I am. I'm sitting here telling him I'm cheating on him, and he has no idea.
Thought it was a joke.
Yeah. I thought she worked with some crazy people. No, surprise, you live with a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. Golly.
Paul also testified his wife had borrowed night vision goggles and a listening device to help Melissa watch Nelson.
Wow. Now I can picture this. Not sure what this woman looks like yet, but I can just see somebody lurking in the bushes.
Like the night vision binoculars.
Right.
I wonder if she wore the ghillie suit or camouflage.
God, we can only hope.
I hope so. She'd even purchased a lock picking kit and spent time trying to open locks around their homes.
And Paul knew this?
Yes.
And he was okay with it.
Yeah, because she was helping her friend spy.
And again,
I mean,
this is my third reference to my husband, but I would like to hope that if he saw me running around with night vision goggles and trying to pick locks in our house, he would, if you see something, say something.
That would be so great if she was in the hallway with all the lights turned off with her goggles trying to pick a lock and he wouldn't turn the lights on.
Yeah. He'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Blinder.
Yeah. You gotta go. I'm calling the cops.
Yeah. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why would you do this?
Load up. We're going to the behavioral center.
Yeah, this is not a hobby.
It's not normal.
No. In no way, shape, or form is this normal, Sheila. Come on.
My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, this is a lot of red flags.
It's like you always say, it's the referee throwing them from a tissue box.
Like, yes, it's just like one after the other. Like, you're standing right in front of them, just doing it. And yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, maybe she's just trying to pick up another hobby, lock picking.
She's so great. She's brilliant.
I tell you, she knows everything about everything.
Everything about everything. In addition to the DNA evidence found in Anna's apartment, as well as circumstantial evidence, the 911 call Sheila made after killing Anna played a pivotal role in her trial.
Okay.
With the help of voice recognition software,
An
expert compared the recordings of Sheila's 911 call with a recording of her speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And he testified he was certain she was the person who made the call. Ultimately, a jury was convinced by the prosecution's evidence, and Sheila was convicted of Anna's murder on February 10th, 2012.
Bam, bam.
Justice is served.
You have been served.
Sheila was sentenced to 50 years in prison, in addition to serving the 25-year sentence for the attempted murder of her husband. After she completes that sentence, Sheila will be moved from New York to Connecticut to a Connecticut correctional facility to serve her time for killing Anna.
Oh.
She will not be eligible for parole until 2079, at which time she will be 110 years old. In 2015, Sheila appealed her 2012 conviction for murdering Anna. In her appeal, she argued that Paul shouldn't have been able to testify about the conversations they had about the love triangle involving herself, Anna, and Nelson. According to Sheila, these communications should have been protected by marital privilege, as they were married at the time these conversations took place.
But having represented herself, she should have been aware of that law prior to
representing herself.
She should have objected to her own self.
Yeah, I object. This does not work for me. In 2015, however, the Connecticut Supreme Court ruled these communications were not protected by state law.
Oh.
As they weren't induced by affection, confidence, loyalty, and integrity of the marital relationship.
Oh.
Sorry, Sheila. Wah, you can't wow. have a husband as your defense and try to kill him. I don't think the judge had a hard time inferring that there was no affection, loyalty, or integrity in your relationship with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, Sheila is in prison.
Yay.
And this is old Sheila.
It's old Sheila. Oh, Sheila. Oh, she looks like a sarcastic bitch.
Yeah.
Doesn't she?
She does. She looks like, I mean, she's a pretty woman, but I feel like she'd be like she'd be a snob.
She's got a resting bitch face, kind of.
Yeah.
And this is not a prison photo. This is obviously like a home photo.
Yeah, like a home photo or...
like her Facebook photo.
Yeah.
Her profile
picture. This is her profile picture.
God. Yeah, she's mad. She's mad all the time.
She is. Mm-mm. And nothing makes her happy.
Gosh. Well, I'm so glad Paul lived.
Yeah.
I feel so sad for Anna.
That was crazy that he survived that. Yeah.
That she lost her life. I mean...
And they're pretty sure that Anna had no idea Sheila and Nelson were even involved with each other.
Right.
So there's never a reason to kill somebody, but
no,
there was literally nothing that Anna did wrong that would have made this woman mad.
Well, she took her man. Very interesting.
And that was the tale of Sheila Davila.
So I guess she killed Anna in a different state.
Yes. Okay. She killed Anna in Connecticut, and then she attempted to murder Paul in New York.
Okay. Well,
I think that helps her not serving consecutively. All right. Well, this is the story of Sheila Davila, and it's not all fun and games with her.
No, it's all fun and games till somebody gets stabbed with a 4-inch paring knife
in the chest.
In the chest.
3 times.
That's sick.
That is. Well, we'll see y'all next week for another episode of Bitches Who Are
Unwell.
Bye.
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 We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.